We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. We are back after a short break during the month of June to do the virtual writing retreat that I hosted on my channel. So Kate and I are super excited to be back with the podcast at last and to be coming at you with some new episodes. We are very excited because today's topic is a great one, and all of the topics that we've been brainstorming for future episodes are going to be so amazing, and we're really excited to get into these really fun, creative discussions with you guys. So thank you for being here. I'm so glad you are here and that you have arrived on this video or this podcast. Thank you for being here. Today we're going to talk about how to write a banger opening hook for your story. So the first page, the first chapter, the first encounter that your reader has with your story. How do we make it
important? Such an important moment.
Oh my goodness.
It's like that moment you envision that people are like in a bookstore or in a library and they've just picked up your book, or maybe they're skimming through, like, you know, their ebook recommendations, and they see your book and they open that preview, you know, and they're reading those first couple paragraphs. What are they seeing? What's grabbing their attention?
Yeah, it's very important, and it's something that I think a lot of writers like freeze up when you first open that first page and you're like, okay, I have to write this amazing first page. It's going to grab my reader's attention, pull them in, make them want more, make them stay up past their bedtime reading. It's a tall order. It's a lot to expect from yourself. So we're going to take kind of a different approach to it today and break it down into like the most important aspects of an opening hook. What makes the most powerful, captivating, emotionally spellbinding hook, and just some of the psychological principles behind that, as well as some of the emotional aspects and what makes us love characters and want to see more of them. So that's what we're going to dig into today in this episode. Super excited to get into this. But before we get started, I just want to take a minute to thank our amazing patrons. Yeah. You guys support this show. You keep it going. We so appreciate your support. You are the reason we are not interrupted by sponsorships and ads during our episodes here. You keep them sponsorship free, and we so appreciate that. Our gratitude goes out to you. So thank you so much for being a patron of The Kate and Abby Show. If you're not, you can get exclusive benefits by being a patron, like joining Kate and I for our monthly live hangout sessions, which we have at the end, the last day of every month. We get together on a live stream with you guys, with the patrons of The Kate and Abby Show, and we just kind of have a creative discussion. We talk, we answer your questions. It's a super fun,
chill. Yeah, it's really fun. It's like very organic. It gives us a chance to like go deeper in discussion with you guys. And I feel like it's the closest thing to being able to like meet up at a coffee shop in person and talk about writing and your works in progress and answer questions, all that fun.
Yeah, so it's super fun, and we think that you would love it. So if you haven't joined the Patreon yet, you can join at any level and get access to those live hangout sessions. We will link it below this video, but it is patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow. Okay, let's get into today's topic, writing a banger opening hook. So first things first, I think you guys probably know what I'm going to say first if you've been around here at all or been on my channel at all. And that is the number one most important thing to the hook. The most important ingredient is internal conflict. In fact, I would go as far as to say that internal conflict is the hook. It is that thing that pulls you in and makes you care. Right. Like, if you don't have that, you don't have a compelling hook that will actually, like, capture a total stranger's attention and pull them into your story. So how do we create internal conflict? That's the big question. That's something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about and practicing with my own writing. And I've found that the most basic way to look at internal conflict is just, it's simply the clash of a character's desire with their fear. It's something they want and something that's holding them back. And that's what creates this push-pull tug of war internally and creates conflict. Is that they have a very clear idea of what they want, okay? And it's really amazing to me when I study stories and read books and watch films, how the simple presence of a clear goal can pull you through a story almost single-handedly.
Yeah.
So I would never underestimate the power of a clear goal. And when your characters don't have a goal and they seem kind of aimless, it won't hold your reader's attention as much as if your characters have a goal. They have something they're pursuing. In fact, I would recommend like going out and studying some of your favorite movies and TV shows and books and looking for this one aspect. Is there a clear goal? From the outset of the story, is there a clear desire or a want, something that this character is pursuing? Because I think you'll be surprised by how often you find this pattern. And of course, we have the opposite side of that conflict, which is the fear that's holding the person back from achieving their goal. And sometimes the fear is masked by external obstacles. You know, it is something that's actually deeply rooted in them, but they might even be blaming it on something else, something that's external. Like, I can't get that because of this, because of that person, because of this scenario, because of this misfortune in my life. And that's something that I think can help reveal some of the problems that the character's dealing with. But ultimately, it's going to be internal. You know, ultimately, it's going to be something in their character that they're wrestling with, not just an external obstacle that's standing in their way.
Right. It's always like it's rooted in the internal conflict.
Yeah.
That's what's dictating how they behave externally. Like, you can think of it also in terms of your own life. Think about maybe an event or something that you experienced once where maybe you wanted to try something new, for an example, but you were hesitant to do it for some reason. So you, on one hand, you really want to do this thing. I know I can think of a bunch of instances for me, like, oh, I'd love to do that, but I'm kind of nervous about doing it, and I'm kind of being held back by these fears or hesitancies, or because I'm afraid this might happen if I do that. Right. And so even if it's not a big thing, it could be a really simple example, a really simple instance. But you can see how that works, how that's constructed, is you know what you want, but you have a fear or hesitancy holding you back from doing that thing. Right. But yet you have this thing you want to do kind of calling you to step out of your comfort zone. So now you're there in that is internal conflict. What you're experiencing right there is, what are you going to do? Are you going to step outside of your comfort zone and do that thing you want to do, or achieve that thing you want to achieve, get that thing you want to get? Or are you going to let fear or your hesitancies about that keep you inside of your comfort zone? It can be really small scale things. It doesn't have to be this epic call to adventure, which me and Abby have always talked about here on the podcast. Abby's talked about it in her videos. It can be very small scale. Abby has a lot of experience with writing contemporary stories that are not these massive, like the knight being called to slay the dragon. These can be your everyday life, and we experience that ourselves. So if you find yourself at a place where you're stumped, like, how do I formulate that for my character? Think of some instances in your own life, maybe, where that's happened, and just apply that to your characters.
Yeah, 100%. That's great advice. So the number one question I think to ask yourself at this point is, like, what is my character's basic desire and basic fear? And how can I kind of take those basic desires and fears and, like, dig down to the root of them? And you might not explore the root right out of the gate. It's okay if you wait a little while before really digging into the character's deeper psyche. But having a clear goal is really, really important to reflect upon what the character is struggling with on a deeper level. And another thing is, how does the inciting incident threaten their desires and fuel their fears? That's another thing to sort of start to think about with your hook, because even though we haven't arrived at the inciting incident on page one, usually, you should be quickly building up to that, because like I talk about on my channel a lot, there's this thing about holding the reader's attention that I like to call the 5-minute rule. And basically, it's revealing the character's desires and fears, and if you can, their misbelief within the first 5 minutes of your story. And I know that sounds like kind of daunting at first, but it's pretty easy when you get down to figuring out, okay, how can I show what they want and show their deeper longing, their deeper crisis inside based on what they want, based on some of their reservations, some of the obstacles, some of the ways that they perceive those obstacles and those desires. And all of this can be very evident through just a small turn of events, like Kate was saying. And kind of an example of this that's immediately springing to mind, because this story has been on my mind so much lately, of course, is my new book, The Other World, which is coming out September 19th. I'm so excited to share this book with you guys. So super excited.
If you guys are watching the video version right now, or if you're yes, listening to the podcast, if you go to the video version, rather, you'll be able to see the beautiful cover of this book. Abby's holding a copy of it right now. These just came in a couple days ago, right?
Yes, they did, and they're going to be available. They're actually currently available for pre-order. So
if you're listening, go pre-order your copy of Abby's book. It's a beautiful, beautiful read. It will leave your heart just humming with so many good takeaways.
Thank you. I love it. It was a really fun story to write, and the character of Orca, who is my main character, when I was writing the first chapter of this book, it's actually a prologue because a lot of it includes her backstory as a child, but right away you can sort of see her internal conflict even from the first line of the blurb, the hook line of the blurb, which we're going to be talking about blurbs in the future on the podcast this month, so stay tuned for that. But basically the hook is the first line of the blurb. Orca Monroe wants only one thing for her 18th birthday, to experience the other world, the mysterious mainland across the sea that her father has forbidden her from visiting. So like, boom, right away in one sentence, I've set up the internal conflict, okay? She wants to experience what she calls the other world, which is just the mainland that she's never been able to visit because she's lived on this island her whole life, and her father has forbidden her from visiting it. Now, as you read deeper into the blurb and the story in chapter one, you'll find that those obstacles in her path that are preventing her from visiting the other world aren't just based on her father forbidding it, they're also based on her own reservations and fears and misbeliefs of how she thinks her father believes her to be weak or incapable of handling the real world. So there's a lot of different layers to her internal conflict, but basically you could break it down into those two simple things. She wants to see the world, her father's forbidden it, and she's afraid of disappointing her father, and also afraid of this false belief that she's not capable of handling the real world. So, and there's so many stories that revolve around, like, I can think of probably like 100 different stories that revolve around a protagonist feeling trapped and wanting to be free. Like, there are so many stories like that. Like, it's amazing. But how you create the individual character and their individual struggles and the setting and the genre and the whole mood and the cast of characters, that's what makes it your own thing. And you can really sort of take a premise, a desire and a fear that has been done thousands of times before and make it something truly unique because of who this unique character is.
Right.
So it's a really fun challenge to explore as a writer. But moving on to our next point, external events can be the hook, but internal conflict is the punch. Okay, so while an external event could be the hook for your story, like it could set the story in motion, it's important to show the reader why it matters to the characters. So you can think of it as like the plot is the fist and the internal conflict is the punch, is how I always like to say it. Because it's like, yes, you need the fist in order to deliver the punch, but the fist by itself is not punchy. It's not a punch until it's propelling forward with this this internal conflict.
Right. That's really what's propelling it forward.
Yes, exactly. So it's like bringing the action, the forward momentum. And what triggers that is your character's internal conflict. So yes, you can use those external events to sort of trigger something, but there has to be something already there. You know, and I feel like you did a really great job of this in The Blood Race, in the first book of the Blood Race series, where we have Ion, who's already a very conflicted character.
Right.
And that opening hook of he's in this car race scenario with a nemesis of his. And then when he's going home, he accidentally hits his neighbor's car. And that like kind of turns into this spiral of events that he then has to go talk to the neighbor, and the neighbor ends up being Sensei, who brings him into this whole new world and this whole new way of living because he, you know, initiates to be an anomaly. And there's so much to the story, but it's like the door opens because of him hitting the car.
Right.
You know, like none of that could have happened if he didn't have a reason to talk to the neighbor, and he wouldn't have had a reason to talk to the neighbor if he didn't accidentally bump into his car.
Right, exactly.
So it's like a very small external event that then triggers this bigger door opening.
Right. And in the Blood Race, which I'm holding if you're listening, you can see it in the video version. But yeah, like in the first chapter, it opens, like you said, with the car race, mm-hmm. and Ion experiencing his abnormal powers that right. come over him and cause like malfunctions with machinery
yes.
and cause these strange occurrences to happen. And we get to see a glimpse into how terrified he is of these mm-hmm. powers that he feels like he can't control. He feels like his body is working against his will almost.
Right.
And so we see how he's sort of terrified of mm-hmm. these powers that come over him. He doesn't know how to control it. And then it ends with the inciting incident of him hitting Sensei's car.
Right.
Which brings us into like we're starting down the rabbit hole now.
Yes. And that's the punch.
Yeah, and it's similar in Anomaly too, like mm-hmm. which is the prequel, the free prequel to the series, where we open with Ion much younger, actually in therapy, talking to his therapist about events that happened, and we see a lot of his internal conflict being read through journal entries that the therapist is actually reading that Ion wrote. So we see this backstory being unpicked in this kind of interesting clinical setting. Mm. And then the backstory starts coming to the surface, and we're seeing the internal conflict, and then we're going to flash back to, okay, now the beginning of the story. But that first chapter really stands to, like, draw you into what is the conflict this character's feeling.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And you did a brilliant job of that in both those books. And that's exactly what I was saying of, like, there's something already there. You know, there's already something at stake. There's already something in play. And then we have the inciting incident right. that forces them outside their comfort zone. But we've already established the boundaries of the comfort zone. And that's why the inciting incident then matters. It's not just a thing happening to anybody. It's something specifically meaningful because of what this character is already internally dealing with. So ask yourself, how can you use the external events in the beginning of your book to bring the internal conflict to the forefront and to really challenge that internal conflict? And how does this particular conflict shove your character outside their comfort zone? So that being said, I think it's important to develop characters before you even develop your plot, as far as taking, you know, as we go through this story in chapter one, you know, we should be really getting to know the characters more so than being acquainted with the plot, because if you develop your characters before you plunge them into the plot, it allows your reader to empathize with them better and to really care about who they are and what they care about and see what matters to them. And that changes what comes next, because now what comes next matters more to us because we see why it matters to them. You know, it's not just a thing that happens to anybody. It's not just like, oh, wow, how would I feel if that happened to me? It's suddenly like, how would I feel if I were them? Because I can now put myself in their shoes and feel what they're feeling. And that's the transportive sort of magic of stories,
right.
is that we can become other people. It's not just that we can go on adventures and, you know, have these experiences. It's that we can sort of step into the shoes of another person and see how they see life. So what motivates your character? That's another question to contemplate. And what experiences in their past have shaped their personality and their fears and their goals? Okay, so the next point that I want to highlight here is about world building, specifically for writers who are writing like a story that's fantasy or sci-fi or takes place in another world. Because sometimes We have a lot of notes. We have a lot of world building, a lot of, you know, sketches and maps and details and things about the magic system or the government or the politics or the communities around your world. And it can be difficult to present all of that in a quick, punchy way that makes us first understand what the heck is going on, because we're already disoriented when we first open a book. It's like, you know, taking the blindfold off. Now I have to acquaint myself with what's going on here. So sometimes world building can be overwhelming. And yes, it is very important, especially if the world your characters find themselves in is very different than the real world. But to me, it should be presented in a way that is almost character-driven, as in showing us the world as it matters to the characters. So yes, the world, the reader does need to understand why the world is how the world works, but we need to more importantly, we need to understand the character's place in the world. What is their relationship to the world, and why does the world matter to them? Like, how do the different systems and aspects of the world play into your character's individual life? Like, how does it affect them on a personal level? Because it, just like an overarching look at everything is not really personal, you know?
Right.
Like, we have to see the direct impact of, like, okay, how do these aspects of the world, like, make a direct impact on this character's life.
Right. Rather than starting with the world and then eventually meeting the main character within that world, we start with the character and we work our way out from there, learning about the world as we go, which we actually have a great episode on that, which I think it was Demystifying World Building.
Yeah.
And we'll link that below in the video version of this podcast if you're interested in checking that out, because that was a great episode. Really good discussion. But, like, we always use the example of the Chronicles of Narnia, which many of you fantasy lovers will know. Great example of a very complex world system. There's magic involved, there's prophecies, there's history, there's different lands, different types of creatures within the world. But we don't start with learning about all of that first. We start with the Pevensies, and then we narrow down to actually one of them particularly, and we enter the world. We see a very small amount of landscape. We meet one character, Mr. Tumnus, and from there we slowly begin to be trickle-fed the Narnian history, the prophecies, the world itself, and then more Pevensies come in. We learn a little bit more. We learn a little bit more, and it feels so natural. The rhythm is very natural feeling. It feels very organic. We're never wishing we had more information before we need to know it. So we're given information on sort of this need to know basis.
Yes.
That leaves us satisfied but not overwhelmed.
Yes.
Which the overwhelm can come when we insert into the very beginning of our books loads of history and loads of science and loads of how the system and the government and the magic all works.
Mm.
It's better to start small. Start with that one character and work your way out from there.
Yeah, and I think it might help some writers to, like, do all that note-taking and stuff elsewhere, not in your first draft, but just, like, make lots of notes to yourself and almost come to this place of feeling like your world is already lived in, you know what I mean?
Yes.
like your character has lived in this world for a long time, and you want it to feel lived in, not to the point where it's disorienting, like, what the heck are all these terms? Like, what do all these words mean if there's a lot of different, you know, words in your character's language, if it's a made-up language or something like that. Not to the point where it's disorienting, but to the point where it feels, like, comfortable and natural. Not like the character needs to hit pause on the story in order to explain everything that's happening. So you kind of want to aim for that lived-in feel. And I think a way to do that is just to, like, get it all out of your system. Like, do all the note-taking you possibly can elsewhere in your Scrivener file. And then as things matter specifically to your character, like Kate was saying,
right,
trickle those things in and
right,
in an easy way that's easy to digest. I know that when I read fantasy, like, it will make me stop reading and not finish a book if it's too overwhelming to even understand the world and orient myself. Because it's like, man, if it's taking me this long just to orient myself and I haven't even gotten to know the characters, my head just is not ready to do that.
Right. Another thing you can do, too, if you're someone who's not necessarily a plotter or a note taker like me, you can always just write your beginning however you want to.
Yeah.
And then as you go through the story and you discover what those conflicts are, when you go back through the revision process, the many times you'll go back through your book, you can add to and revise and rewrite the beginning and move those pieces of history or orientation elsewhere. You can add them into maybe the character's day, the first day we experience with them in the book or something like that.
Yeah.
So you can always move parts and pieces around, which is something I've done a lot of. There have been many times when I'll go back to that opening hook segment. I'll take a bunch out and I'll paste it into a document, and then I'll be like, oh, okay, here's the perfect space, like further down to add that back in.
Yeah. That's so a really good skill.
It's move aroundable. Yes. It's all move aroundable.
That's great. And I think that's I think one of the most important skills for a writer to develop is being comfortable with revisions.
Yeah.
Because the more you get comfortable with revisions, it's like a superpower. And you never feel like intimidated about like, oh, this has to be perfect. I have to write it perfect, because it's like, you can revise it. If you get really good at revisions, you don't even have to be good at writing.
Right? Yeah, because that sounds weird, but it's like true. Because really you could replace the word revisions with writing process.
Yeah.
Because that really is such an important part of the writing process, going back and reading through and being able to slow down, pause, creatively write, then look at it again. It's kind of a mindful practice, really. So it is part, it's just another type of creative writing.
Yeah.
Could look at it that way, and that makes it sound more fun, too.
Yeah, true, true. And there is no part of your book that you will do this more for than your opening hook, because you want that to be the most powerful, the most emotional and gripping part of your book. So coming off that, ask yourself, how does the world impact your character's internal conflict, their desires, their fears, their goals? How does it factor into their own individual path in life? And how can you show your reader why the world matters to the character? So as you develop your story, ask yourself these questions to ensure that you are creating compelling internal conflict and that you're driving home that punch in your opening hook. What does my protagonist think will bring them true happiness or contentment? How is their fear stopping them from going after it? What is my character's misbelief, and what happened in their past to create this misbelief? How can I show my audience in the first 5 minutes why what's happening matters to my protagonist, given their desire, fear, and misbelief? So those are just some really good questions to ask yourself to kind of springboard these ideas and what your hook might look like. And of course, it will be different for everyone. Some hooks might be backstory. Some might be flashbacks to the past, or showing your character growing up, or showing just that pivotal moment in their past, even if it wasn't that long ago, where something changed for them. Their fatal flaw took root, their misbelief took root, and it now has changed the course of their life. So maybe it's something like that, or maybe it's just meeting them in the present day and they are being forced outside their comfort zone in some way. Or maybe it's something that is an external event that turns into this small trigger that sets off a bigger challenge and opens the door to a whole new world of conflict. So lots of different ways to look at that and lots of different ideas to play with. But to recap everything that we've talked about today so far, internal conflict is a central aspect of a story that pits a character's desires against their fears. Okay, that's basically it. It's pretty simple. External conflict can be the hook, but internal conflict is the punch that makes the story truly compelling. It's essential to develop your characters before plunging them into the plot. And world building should only be done when it matters to the characters. So start with your characters and work your way out for world building. And that's basically it. I mean, we could go on and talk more about the hook, because the hook is such a big topic, but I feel like that's a good place to leave it, because it's kind of a, you know, we like to give you guys a springboard to just sort of explore your own creativity and explore your own ideas and not overwhelm you with like too many thoughts and rules and regulations, because that takes all the fun out of writing. And it's like every writing advice book you pick up will be like very overwhelming with all these different, like, you know, rules and restrictions.
Yeah. And art doesn't live within the parameters of rules. So
yeah.
Do you. Figure out what works for you. Figure out what you like. And maybe a fun exercise would be like walk through library, walk through bookstore, or browse through books on your Kindle, however you look at books, and just randomly pick up a few, open to the opening page, and just read and see, does it grab you? If so, why? What is it that's captivating you? What is it that's making you want to turn the next page? Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, if it makes you want to close the book again and put it back on the shelf, why? What is it about it that's not grabbing your attention? The same with films and TV series. The first maybe 10 minutes of a film, maybe 5 minutes of a film, mm-hmm. does it grab you? Does it pull you in? If so, why? Is it the characters? What is going on that's making you want to continue watching? Or if you want to shut it off and watch something else, why? What's happening that's making you have that reaction as well?
Yeah.
So that can be, we do this all the time. do this all the time. We're constantly talking about why films and pieces of literature will make us feel a certain way. What captivated us about it? What didn't captivate us about it? Yeah. Studying story is the best teacher of story.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, Abby has basically said that a million times over on her channel. And we've said it here too, because there is no better way to learn about story than to actually experience story.
Yeah, 100%.
And just notice what pulls your
attention. It's a great exercise.
What gets your attention? What doesn't?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's an excellent exercise. And then just playing with, like, you know, okay, if you can imagine what would be the best, like, experience for you picking up a book and opening it to the first page, what is something that you would want to read on the first page? And then just write that. And, like, just take the pressure off. Have fun. You know,
exactly.
Play, enjoy. Don't be afraid of revisions either. Don't be afraid of like, oh, this has to be perfect the first time, because it will not be perfect the first time. That's okay, because the more confident you get with the revisions, the better a writer you will be, and the more you will be able to fix anything, fix any messy first draft.
Right. And always just keep in mind that perfection is subjective.
Yeah.
Everyone's idea of what perfection is different, so really perfection doesn't even exist. So you can just liberate yourself from that idea altogether and just have fun.
Yeah.
Just have fun and do your best, the best you can personally do, to the point where it makes you feel happy that you're doing great then.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. So you can let go of any other like thing that you feel you need to be doing, any rules or constrictions you're putting on yourself. You can like let that go and just explore. Yeah. Just have fun.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. Right on. Mic drop. So thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. We love you guys so much, and thank you for listening. Comment below and join the discussion, because we would love to hear from you guys. We'd love to hear what you thought of this episode, and what are some of your favorite examples of an opening hook that would be something to comment below. Maybe even one of them is my new book, The Other World, yes. Which I'm a big fan of the opening hook in the first chapter, and just this entire book. I'm super, super happy and excited to be sharing it with you guys. And it's coming out this September 19th. And pre-orders are now live. So you can go and pre-order either an ebook or paperback copy. Hardcovers will be coming, but they're going to be a little bit special. So I'm still working on the design for the hardcover. But in the meantime, you can pre-order a paperback or ebook copy from your retailer of choice. So you can do that with the link in the description box below this video. If you haven't seen the video version of this podcast, you can find that on Kate's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/KAEmmons. Check that out. Join over there. All the podcasts go up as videos every other Monday, and we love to see you guys over there commenting and joining the discussion. So thank you again so much to our amazing patrons for keeping this podcast alive and free of interruptions. If you want to support the show and get access to exclusive live trainings, or not live trainings, but live hangout sessions every month with Kate and I, then you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow. You can join at any level, get access to the live hangouts. And we hope to see you guys over there. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time,
stay stoked
and rock on.